to talk at this conference on the heritages of Spencer's research. At coffee before, we were saying to Spencer that I would have liked to have been able to think up some embarrassing anecdotes about Spencer to tell, but I couldn't think of any, or at least not in enough time, or at least suitable enough to say out loud. So we've had various comments about people being students of Spencer, and I certainly wasn't a student of Spencer in the technical sense, but what is true is that when I arrived at Harvard as a student of Mumford, very shortly thereafter, Mumford gave me this letter from Spencer to Mumford about K2 and algebraic cycles and said, well, you might want to have a look at this. Maybe it means something. And I guess it's been either downhill or uphill all the way since then. And it's also in a sort of more direct sense, some of the work that Christoph and I did on motives and descent, which Uwe mentioned at some point in his talk, sort of came directly out of work that Christoph and I did with Spencer, which really came out directly of Spencer saying, I think, at breakfast one time at a France-Japan conference at a very nice chateau in the French countryside, and Spencer sort of just says, well, you know, I've been thinking about what Arakelov theory might mean in a non-Archimedean sense. And he came out with this whole scheme which was completely unlike anything we'd been thinking about. And that led to a whole bunch of things, and then indirectly led to this work that Christoph and I did. So, the only other comment I'd make is I'm not going to claim to have read half of Spencer's papers and cases at an exam at the end. So, what I'm going to talk about is arithmetic intersection theory on stacks, and there will actually at some point be some quick mention of motives in there. So let me start off by so what's the goal? So let me just say a few words about arithmetic intersection theory or Arakelov theory. So the situation for schemes. So let's say X. Let's look at the category. Of schemes which are, let's say, regular, flat, projective over Z. So we have the ordinary Chow groups of such schemes on which one can, in fact, construct an intersection theory, which I'll say maybe two words about in a moment. But the idea here is that we're going to have a functor those will be some contravariant functor. So these will be the arithmetic Chow groups. And the properties, so what properties does this functor have? Well, first of all, if I tensor with Q, this is a graded ring. And then secondly, there is an exact sequence And actually, I should, let's see, there should be some twist here. Sorry. Okay, so so here what we have is these groups, chow p hat. Here are the usual chow groups. Here we have closed pp forms on the complex points of x with some, since this is a scheme over z, there's an action of complex conjugation. And so I think, if my memory serves me correctly, I want to assume the complex conjugation acts by minus 1 to the p. And then I also want to assume these are not just closed pp forms, but they represent the cohomology classes of algebraic cycles. And then this is the corresponding cohomology group. And maybe here I should have had a twist as well. These are pp forms. Times, so there's maybe a factor of 2 pi I to the p there, but I'm not being very careful about that. And then here, these are, this is just the real cohomology with an appropriate twist of weight pp, and I only look at the, again, the classes of that represent algebraic cycles in there. So now we have so this group maps onto the kernel of this map, and then here we have the real p minus 1, p minus 1 cohomology, and here we have sort of the chow group, this is the, if you like, this is part of the E2 term of the Gersten spectral sequence. And let's say rationally, essentially the weight P part of K1 of X, and then rho here, now what are the maps? Well, rho is a regulator. And now what's a typical element in this group here? Well, certainly maps onto something here where I have a cycle and a form. So a typical element in here is going to be a pair consisting of Z and G, where G is in dP minus so d p minus 1 p minus 1 is equal to currents of type p minus 1 p minus 1, so i.e. p minus 1 p minus 1 forms with distribution coefficients. And now the assumption is that if I look at dd bar with some appropriate coefficient like maybe plus or minus I over 2 pi times g, and I add to that, so this is forms which are, say, on, I should say, the complex points of x, which since by assumption on x, the complex points of x form a smooth compact manifold. So here, if I take z and I look at its complex points, then those form a codimension p analytic subvariety, and so this is the current of integration over z, which we can think of, if you like, as a pp form with distribution coefficients. And g here satisfies the following condition, that if I look at dd bar of g plus delta, that this lies in zpp, i.e. it is c infinity. And so if we write this as, let's say, omega of zg, so we have a map. So an element of chow p hat is represented by a pair consisting of a cycle and this G here, which we call a green current, and so one way to think about this is this satisfies the equation that constant times dd bar g equals omega minus delta of z. So in other words, here we have the given the cycles has a cohomology class, and we can think of this cohomology class in two different ways. We can think of it as represented just by the closed PP current of integration, or we can think of it as being represented by some closed PP form. And since our variety, the complex points of our variety, form a compact Kähler manifold, these two cohomologous forms, their differences can always be written as dd bar of something. So it's such a pair gives you an element of Chow P hat. So the map from here to here takes zg to the class of z and omega of zg. And then the map from here to here simply takes the difference of the cohomology class represented by a cycle and the cohomology class. So let's say this takes zeta alpha to the class of zeta minus the class of alpha. So the fact that this is exact going sort of to the left is this is the dd bar lemma. And I'm not really saying anything about the rest of the sequence. We just have such a sequence. Okay, so let me just give a couple of properties of this. CH1 hat of x is isomorphic. So this is the group of isomorphism classes. Well, I should say, let's say line bundles. L over X so line bundles over X so if I look at the induced line bundle over the complex manifold XC this is given a C infinity Hermitian metric. Well, sorry, say again.
Is that pre-tax this, or you fix the Hermitian metric, or don't you fix the Hermitian metric?
Hermitian metric on, I should say, on L.
No, but I mean,
the
root is
it
L, H, or is that
yes, yes.
L?
No, it's L, the pairs LH, yes. And the isomorphism is, in fact, given by. So here, if I think of H, so I guess maybe we should really think of this, may write this as sigma with respect to H. Oops, I don't need this parenthesis. Maybe I need one. Yeah, there we go. This is for sigma, a mirror morphic section. So in fact, a special case of this is that if X equals spec OK, K, a number field, then CH1 hat of X is the isomorphic to the Adels modulo the maximal compact. So the Adels modulo the maximal compact. This is the right Idels. And so in particular, CH1 hat of spec Z is just the real numbers. Now, one of the... Sorry? Oh, right, sorry, Idel classes, yes. Thank you. For thought now here, sort of extending 3, so if E over X is a vector bundle, and then let's say H equals a Hermitian metric, I should say a C infinity Hermitian metric on the complex points of E, then we get classes C hat of the pair EH in Chow P hat, so these are churn classes. Yeah. No, it's maximal compound. So these churn classes are natural transformations, so they're contravariant. They satisfy the Whitney sum formula with respect to orthogonal direct sum. What happens if you don't, if you have an exact sequence of bundles is more interesting, and I don't want to go into it. But let me just say, so if I look at this map, so the map here from CHP to ZPP, so CP hat of EH maps to the pair, which is just the usual churn class of E in Chow P. And here what I write is CPEH, which is in ZPP. And this is the representative, the C infinity form representing CP via Chern-Weil theory. So if you have a bundle, there are various ways of constructing its Chern classes. One is you can construct the Chern class in the Chow groups by the splitting principle, for example. The other is you, given a C-infinity Hermitian metric on the associated complex bundle, you can look at the canonical connection with respect to that metric so that it's compatible with D-bar and that's unitary with respect to the metric. Take the curvature and look at the invariant polynomials with respect to the curvature and get forms. In cohomology, those will represent the same thing, and therefore you know that just by the DD bar lemma up there, there exists some G which interpolates between the Chern-Weil representative and the cycle. And what we're saying here, or we said here, is that there actually, in some sense, there exists a natural choice. And I should say something I missed here is really this green current. What we really have to think of this is in the dp p minus 1 p minus 1 modulo the image of d and the image of d bar. So up to d bar, image of d and image of d bar, there's a natural choice of such a g. And yeah. Good point. I should have said here, So the relations, I never said what the relations were. So if I have a ZG and a Z primed G primed, one way to get these to be the same, well, Z and Z primed represent the same element from the Chow groups. If Z minus Z primed is the divisor of F, where F is a codimension P minus 1. That's one. It's one way to think about rational equivalence. So now, what's nice is, given such a function, just by this principle here, I can look at up to sine log absolute f squared. Now this is some L1 function essentially on W. So this is on W. And this actually I can think of as a p minus 1. So there's some sine here, maybe some pi's. But this is p minus 1 current. In other words, what that means is I take a form, restrict it, WC, take a form, restrict it to the complex points of my subvariety W, and then integrate against log absolute F squared. Now, I mean, W might be singular, but that doesn't really matter, either using resolution or singularities, or just the fact that the non-singular locus of W is dense in W, the integral makes sense. Well, really using resolution and singularities. So that's the equivalence relation. So in other words, you know, if you have Z and Z prime to rationally equivalent, if you choose a particular rational equivalence, it gives you information at the Archimedean place. Yeah, and I mean, right there, if you think about the case of OK, you can see the connection basically with, say, with Adele classes, because here, sort of if Z and Z prime are divisors in spec OK, then those really just have to do with the finite primes, and then here we're taking information at the infinite prime. Okay, so let's see. So one of the uses of these groups is you can get numbers. So I mean, the whole point of having intersection theory is to get intersection numbers. So if x to y, let's see, what are we at here? I think 6. X to y is proper, let's call it f, and f of c, so the induced map and complex manifolds, is smooth, then you have a push-forward map on the Chow-Hack groups. So in this sense, ZG to F lower star Z, and basically the integral over the fiber. Or another way to say it, this is just pi lower star in the sense of current. And the reason you need F to be smooth is simply because, right up here, when you push forward G down to Y, you still need to be able to get an equation like this. So the integral of omega, the push forward of omega, which is the integral over the fibers of omega, needs to be smooth. Now, so in particular, via the map, let's say pi from X to spec Z, we get something we could call degree hat from chow t hat, chow dim x of, so chow hat, degree dimension x of x to the real numbers. So combining that so combined with the intersection product, you get intersection numbers. So in other words, the map from chow p hat of x times chow hat was a complementary dimension. This is always respect dimension of x. I really mean dimension of x as a scheme into the real numbers. And a special case of this, or at least maybe I should say sort of a closely related phenomenon, is height. So if let's say, well, first of all, let's make the so if I look on Pn of z of 1 has a natural Hermitian inner product, because it's a quotient of On plus 1. And so now you get a class, let's call it psi, in ch hat 1 pn, and so now if, let's say, z in Pn, is a variety given a projective embedding, let's say, of dimension d, so let's call this the inclusion I, then we can look at what I say is the degree hat of I upper star of psi to the d, which is a real number, and we define the height of z, really the height with respect to O of 1, of z to be that number. Now, you could object that z is singular, and there are a couple of ways around this. You can actually sort of you can write a formula in terms of the product up there for this height. So in other words, if z was actually regular, then this makes perfectly good sense. And so you look at this height, this pairing, and you can rewrite sort of this gadget here in terms of this pairing up here, and get a formula for it which doesn't depend on which is intrinsic, and then which you can extend to singular z. Or the other alternative, another way to think about this is you take your z sitting inside Pn, and you take a regular modification so this is thanks to de Jong so z tilde is regular. And then you take psi to the d, pull it back up to z tilde, take the degree hat there, and just divide by the degree of this modification. And that'll give you the same answer. And so this, for points, this is, maybe I should say, a or one of, let's say, one version of the usual height. Okay. Oof. So, of course, now, why might one attempt to do this with stacks? I suppose one answer is why not. But actually, there you go. Right.
Huh?
I didn't, and I don't want to. Yeah, no. I can sort of say something afterwards. Well, okay, so moving right along. So actually, this was prompted by a question by Steve Kudla. So Kudla and Rappaport, sort of growing out, I guess, I'm now going to display one of the many things about which I'm completely non-expert. But I guess there's this history going back to Herzebruch of constructing modular forms such that the Fourier expansion of the modular form, the coefficients of the Fourier expansion of the modular form were given by intersection numbers on, I guess at that point, Hilbert modular surfaces. Do I have that? Okay, so Tony's nodding his head, so I haven't said anything totally stupid so far. So this got generalized in stages, and so at some point, let's say Steve Kudla so the idea, if you looked at modular forms, they were looking at modular forms with coefficients in Chow hat. And in fact, these are Chow hat of various, let's say, moduli. Really, what they wanted to make this, in some sense, completely intrinsic was Chow hat of various moduli stacks. And the idea would then be that you'd get sort of an honest modular form if given, so then, let's say given some cycle, let's just call these stacks maybe X, on X, applying the intersection product, you would get an honest modular form. So for example, I guess, one of the origins of the work that Soulet and I did on Arakalov theory was with Faulting's proof of Mordell. And in Faulting's proof of Mordell, one of the things he sort of key tools is the notion of the height of an abelian variety. And one way you can think about the height of an abelian variety is that on the moduli stack of abelian varieties, there is some metrized line bundle, which given an abelian variety over a number field, which you can think of as a map from the number field to the stack, you pull this metrized line bundle back and take the degree hat in the sense of that line bundle pulled back to the number spec of the ring of integers in the number field. An example of this would be you might either a cycle or more, it wouldn't have to be a cycle. You might have some natural metrized line bundle in the moduli stack. So maybe I should say a cycle or element of Chow hat. So coming, say, from return class. So here, in other words, you might have modular forms whose coefficients are heights, etc. And the etc. is intended to conceal my ignorance beyond that point. So that was my excuse. We want to extend this to stacks. Now, now for simplicity, let's at least start out. So X is going to be a Deligne. Mumford stack, which is regular, flat, over spec Z. And it may, at the moment, I didn't say anything about what happens if X, if the scheme X is not proper. And maybe just out of laziness, let me say that X here is proper, though, sorry, if I have time, I'll say a couple of words about what happens if X, or what you should do if X is not proper. Because I recognize the fact that the sort of, to require these two things may be a little bit optimistic. Okay, so if we go back sort of the construction of Chow Hat, there are various ingredients in this. So the first thing is just the usual theory of Chow groups on a stack. So just in quote-unquote classical intersection theory. So here, if I tensor, so let me just say how these are defined. So one way you can define this as just the free abelian group on codimension P integral substacks modulo rational equivalence, which is defined, I guess it got erased. So in other words, so if I have a codimension P minus one substack, then you can certainly talk about a rational function on a substack. So this codimension, this is just ZP of the stack, and this is the divisor of this will be. Will be a cycle on the stack, and this is. So in other words, the naive definition works. So I mean, if you're not. So what's the point about a stack? A stack is something that, in particular, sort of locally has an étal covered by a scheme. So if I have an irreducible substack, sort of locally in the étal topology, this will be a subscheme. And so I can talk about rational functions sort of locally in the étal topology, and here just basically, well, this is sort of H0, the sheaf of rational functions on W. W is a codimension P substack, okay. Integral substack. And let me just say, this is less mysterious than it may seem, because one fact about Deline-Mumford stacks is that any Deline-Mumford stack has what might be called a coarse moduli space, which is sort of the quotient of the stack, and this is actually an algebraic space. And then, in fact, at least rationally, these things are the same. Now, there are two ways So as Tony says, one of the problems here is that the coarse space, the coarse moduli space, may be singular even if the stack itself is regular. And so the other things, sort of points of contact with this somewhat earlier for me, was that Mumford had written a paper in intersection theory on moduli of curves, and in essence, what he wanted to do was define a product on the Chow groups of the moduli stack of curves. And as Tony says, the problem is the coarse moduli space is singular, but the stack itself is regular. And so so this kind of fits with my comment at the very beginning. So if X is, let's say, a regular Deline-Mumford stack over a field, then one way to define an intersection product. And you can do this. Now, since a stack is something that looks locally, let's say, like the quotient of a variety by a finite group, typically one expects, at least if you do something naive, you really expect, if you start thinking about what it's going to mean to take intersection numbers and so on, you're going to have to introduce denominators. This is already present in Mumford's paper. And so you might as well tensor with Q. And so, in fact, one approach to intersection theory in the Lee-Mumford stack is to prove that rationally, Bloch's formula holds. And that, so this gives an intersection product. The other approach, yeah, I mean, because a tile cohomology with rational coefficients is pretty boring. I mean, it's just because it's just invariance. The other approach is by Vistoli, and this used, I'll just say, sort of Fulton style. Oops. Intersection theory. Okay. Oh, same answer. Of course, I say that I couldn't tell you if anybody actually sat down and proved it gave you the same answer. But, no. I take that back because what I'm going to say in a few minutes, even if somebody hasn't thought about it, it's sort of a simple corollary of something I'll say in a couple of minutes. Okay. All right, so one can certainly talk about, at least over a field, you can talk about intersection theory in a stack. You mean here? Well, so this is sort of the idea in this approach. Yeah. Okay, so now we need a. Data a lemma. Well, so the other remark is that I want to look at sort of the Betti cohomology of the complex points of the stack. Then this is just the same thing as the cohomology in the Etal topology. Oh, now here I would really want to take real coefficients, real or complex coefficients. So this is cohomology in the Etal topology of the constant sheaf R. Oh, sorry, I don't mean Etal topology. I really mean sort of in the analytic topology. But by the analytic topology, what you really mean is you take the Etal topology and then sort of take the analytic topology in each Etal cover. I suppose is one way to say it. And this is isomorphic to the cohomology of the Durham, as appropriate, or Dolbo complex on X of C. And so this we really think of as a sheaf, if you like, start off thinking of this as a sheaf in the Etal topology. Okay, so here's a lemma. Suppose you have a stack which is proper, a Lee-Mumford stack, which is proper and smooth over the complexes. And the Hodge-Durham spectral sequence degenerates. I don't know how to do Hodge theory on stacks. That's not how you prove it. The proof, let me just say this. It's the same, maybe the same is maybe the wrong word, similar to the proof. For algebraic spaces. I mean, the key point here, and actually, maybe I should have given this lemma a bit later because I'll say something a bit stronger. But I mean, the key point here is that given a stack, there exists some variety X. So now this is a variety, which, in, if we're working over the complex numbers, I can assume, this is, let's say, there's a variety X such that this map here is proper and surjective. And so of the complex numbers, we can assume this X is actually smooth, and then you can prove cohomology injects and the Hodge de Dürer spectral sequence injects. So that's the proof that you use for algebraic spaces. In other words, you show that the Hodge de Dürer spectral sequence just sits inside the corresponding spectral sequence for a variety. But now, I actually want to elaborate on this proof. So this up here is sort of Chow's lemma. This is sort of Chow's lemma, I guess. For stacks, so the assertion that given any stack, there's something which sits over it with a proper surjective map, which is quasi-projective. So now let's go back to our stack over Z, and de Jong tells us, de Jong plus Chow tell us that there exists X to the stack proper surjective with the scheme X regular. And actually, one can do more. This will be useful. Further, and if you if you go and look, well, if you sort of think about what's happening with sort of the et al. Topology in a stack, this, I guess, is reasonably clear. But if you go and look in the book of, you find this explicitly, I think, in the book of Lomont and Moret-Bailly, you can always, so given a point, let's say psi, in X, you can make, let's call this map pi, that's the right way to say this, you can choose pi such that there exists U in X open with pi restricted to U etal and xi in pi of U. Well, given that one can always find such maps, this implies that there exist a proper hypercover, let's say X tilde, or maybe I'll say X tilde to X. So actually, let's write it like this. So there's maybe one thing that's worth making a remark about. So the X ends are all regular, let's say proper over the stack, proper. The only thing, so let me, rather than sort of talking in generalities about hypercovers, let me just say the one thing, I think it'll give the right flavor, I just look at what's happening at this level. So if X was a scheme, to say this is a proper hypercover would mean precisely that the map from x to x0. So that fiber product is proper and surjective. So you have a pair of maps here, so a single map here. And in fact, this still makes perfectly good sense in the stack context. I mean, another way of saying this is that if I choose some étal cover of X of the stack by a scheme and pull this whole thing here back by the étal cover, then what I get here is an actual hypercover in the proper hypercover in the category of schemes. Okay, now here's the theorem. Which really makes everything else work. I.e., the descent spectral sequence degenerates. And you have a copy of R to the power R1 plus R2 minus 1 modulo the regulator. Because if you go back and you look at this exact sequence that was written down a long time ago, on the left there's a map sort of OK star maps to R to the R1 plus R2, maps to chow 1 hat, maps to the class group. and so what's the proof of this? Well, the proof is to construct the category of motives, and maybe I should say here, chow, Grothendieck, chow motives over the stack. Okay? So, in other words, the objects here are just varieties. So, proper, so X. Is regular and proper. And the Hom sets are the chow groups. I mean, I write here sort of homology to indicate it's really just the sort of chow groups, if you like. Well, actually, it doesn't really matter. It's the chow group. I'll just say this is isomorphic to K. And here, since X working over Z, it's worth saying here, this is the graded for the gamma filtration on G0. And I want rational coefficients, I guess. So this is a very interesting thing that's been considered, sort of relative motives that's considered by people like Hanamura. And what's the composition? Well, I mean, the remark is that if I take this triple product, but it's really, this triple product is actually the product over a scheme. And in fact, the product over a regular scheme. And so I can use the product on K-theory just via the left-derived functor of tensor product over OY to define a product or a composition, well, a product, first of all, and then a composition into X cross Z, rationally. Yeah, that's all right. Sorry? Yeah, that's right. But I'm taking a module here and I'm thinking of it as an OY module. The module here I'm thinking of as an OY module, and an OY is regular. So it's really sort of you're using the fact that Y is regular. Let's put this up. And since I'm just about out of time, I'll say simply that the proof of this theorem, once one has this notion of motives here, the proof of the theorem sort of continues as in the paper of Soule and myself in Krella in whenever it was, 85, I think. So basically the point is that you can construct a sort of, in the category of motives, you can sort of construct a splitting, so you can start a map down from X to X0 to X and so on. Yeah. No. In other words, because the fact, if I start with any possibly a singular scheme and look at the hypercovering and look at the descent spectral sequence.
No, but it's not quotient singularity. So then
but I mean, I don't see how that were how you apply that in the case of Chow groups. Well, I'm not saying that for cohomology this is a surprising result, but we do need it. Yeah.
You said that the Chow group is the same tensor Q.
Right.
It's the same as the Chow group, but it represents.
Right. 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 But. Yeah, but I don't know how for. I mean, it may be that you can do this for Chow groups without using this kind of argument. But in any case, so now I can give. So let's say corollary from this, which is, look at Chow hat, so theorem. So if So suppose we're getting a regular proper hypercover of our stack. Then the kernel the pullback map, so in chow, we do have chow hat for schemes, and so the kernel of the pullback map and chow hat from x0 to x1 is independent of the choice of the hypercover. And so, I mean, the one thing is here you might ask, and the forms part of chow hat is isomorphic. Or let's just say, and let's say this way. And there's an exact sequence. Analogous, so this is the exact sequence chow hat of the stack, well, chow hat of whatever this kernel, so we're going to define to call this chow hat of the stack. And this is all tensor cube. But here you're really talking about PP forms in the stack. And the reason you really get PP forms in the stack in this kernel has to do with this fact right here. And I'll just finish by saying that these groups sort of inherit all the properties you want. For chow hat, so for example, Chern plus is the intersection product. And one final remark this would have given, if you like, a third way to construct the product just from the ordinary chow groups of the stack. Rational coefficients for X over a field. A couple of other remarks, things which I haven't thought about. For example, there's this work of Turn in which you look at, and one of the things that's not true for a stack, it's not true that K0 of a stack is rationally is isomorphic to the chow groups. You really have to look at something a bit fancier. So you sort of have some, there's a version of Bloch's formula where you look at, on the inertia, so sort of G0 of the stack or K0 of the stack is isomorphic to something having to do with HP of KP on the inertia stack. And it's an interesting question whether one should really consider these groups sort of that for the inertia stack or some version of them. And then there are these sort of Chen Ruan type cohomology for, again, somehow based in the inertia stack, which have to do with string theory. And I suppose one could ask if one could construct Chow, so Chen Ruan Chow hat group, but I'm not going there. and that's it. Not so obvious to me how to do that, because, you know, then you get into the whole issue of yeah, so the question is how, this already is a question of, say, for a scheme. So if I'm given a scheme, how do I sort of reconstruct the Chow Hat groups for a scheme out of the Etal topology of the scheme? And so actually this is one of the ways, and some of you have heard me talk about some things related to this, where there's sort of a nice complex of sheaves in the Etal topology, which, with products and so on, which computes the Chow Hat group. This is kind of related to some work that Goncharov did. I mean, I guess, and also, since you're with spec Z, there's an issue whether you can compute Chow groups with motivic sheaves as well, so. Yeah, yes. Right.
So you said that this work of Putnam follows some sort of notation.
Well, at least the email that I got from one or the other of them saying, has anyone worked this out with notation?
So my actual question would be, could you extend this in the direction of that work, and would homothetic theory and be an application of this? Structurally, the answer is quite similar to the intuitive things which come from Hooke theory.
Does that have anything to do with the thing I said at the end about Chen Ruan cohomology? Or?
I had a question in mind before you.
So, I mean, that's something I know absolutely nothing about, so it's maybe an interesting question, but...
What about the more fancy stacks?
More fancy stacks, yeah. Well, then, of course, you're in... I mean, at least for this approach, you're in trouble. on the other hand, if you had a purely sheaf theoretic construction of Chow Hat, then I guess it would make sense for an arc in the stack. Well, I mean, you could just define it, right? You could just say, okay, we'll just take the groups H. By Kresh, for example. Right. But that's... I don't know how that would fit with this. And for one thing, one of the problems with Kresh's... one of the issues with Kresh's construction is sort of the products... I mean, well, first of all, let's see, if my memory serves correctly, Kresh's construction to have products, you're really working over a field because he uses very strongly deformation to the normal bundle. So that's, I don't know, maybe there's some way around that, but I don't know. And he has some because of that, he also has some not odd definitions of cycles, but I mean, it's tricky. But I mean, yeah, I mean, you could just take Bloch's formula or some sheaf theoretic construction, but I mean, the question, we should ask yourself, you know, for example, what is a Hermitian line bundle on BGLN? What's Chow 1 hat of BG? Chow 1 hat, we know what that is in some sense. That's Hermitian line bundles. So how many Hermitian line bundles on BGLN can you think of? I mean, that's a... There aren't too many, I think. But anyway.
Yeah, I have a sort of obvious question. Of course, your stack is just
Yeah. Yeah, because then it's, yeah. Yeah, and that's sort of, well, and that's also the other thing maybe I should have pointed out is, yeah, it's not so surprising because, maybe Manin and some proved that basically if you just look at the motive, you get nothing new when you look at motives of regular sex. Anyway.
Right.